ricotta cheese first. So I open the cooler, I pull the ricotta cheese out, I put it in my basket, and then I see the cottage cheese, and it's just a couple things away, and I see that cottage cheese is so much cheaper than ricotta cheese. And so I say, well, I got to put this back, and then I thought to myself this, am I allowed to put this food that I've touched back? Like, I know I'm allowed to, but like socially, is that acceptable for me to touch something, put it in my little basket and put it back now? Or are we not allowed to do that anymore? And that thought isn't what reminded me of how much has changed. It was the next thought, because this is what I then said to myself, believe it or not. I said this, oh well, I'll just keep the more expensive one. And for me to say, I'll just keep the more expensive one when there's a perfectly reasonable, lower cost alternative right there in front of me, that is not the type of thing I ever would say. But that is the world we are living in today. So much has changed. And when things are changing with our jobs and with our communities and our faith community, and not only have they been changing, but now we're going through a whole nother season of change as we move out of phase two and into phase three. During this time of unprecedented change, I think it's good for us to hear the words of Psalm 93. Psalm 93 is where we're going to be studying together today, and it reminds us that God is in control. And a time and place when everything is changing, God remains in control. Would you turn with me to Psalm 93? If you've got your app, go ahead and open that up. If you've got your Bible in front of you on the couch, you can just use that as well. But I'm going to be reading from Psalm 93. These are the words that are recorded there. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Psalm 93. And as we read Psalm 93 together and we kind of try and study this passage more in depth, the first thing we're going to see is that God is firmly in control. The psalmist reminds us from the very beginning that God is firmly in control. We see this in verse 1. He begins, "The Lord reigns." Now, there was no grammatical exclamation point in ancient Hebrew. But if there was, I feel like we'd find one here, as the psalmist just begins with this very bold, strong declaration of the sovereignty of God. The Lord reigns. The Lord is king over all the universe. The Lord is firmly in control of all things. And note this, not the Lord reigned, as if he's looking back to something that happened in the past. Nor does he say, the Lord will reign, as if he's wistfully yearning for a future when God is finally in control over all things. No, he says, right here, right now, in this very moment, the Lord reigns. The Lord is king. The Lord is sovereign over all things. And he describes him as such, for he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord, he's describing the Lord royally here. So, of course, he is clothed in the clothes of kings. He is robed in majesty. He looks majestic. But lots of kings might be robed in majesty, but this is a different sort of king. Not a king that looks good, but, you know, rules by political machinations and alliances and trade agreements. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but God rules because He is the strong one. He is the mighty one. He is firmly in control because God can and is. He is the greatest, strongest, most powerful being in the entirety of the universe. And you know what? I don't think we often talk about just the strength, the might, the fearsomeness of God very much in our culture today. Especially as modern evangelical Christians, I feel like we often kind of pigeonhole God, and we usually talk about Him in one very specific way, that God is our friend, that God loves us and cares for us and wants to nurture us. And those things are true. Don't get me wrong, but that's not the entirety of who God is. And sometimes when we just focus on this idea that, you know, God is my buddy, we don't get the full picture of who He is. All right, if you want God to be your buddy, that's great, but the Lord is armed with strength. If the Lord is your buddy, it's not a buddy like me. It's like if Andre the Giant were your buddy. Like the biggest, strongest, most powerful guy that nobody's going to mess with you. Nobody's going to give you trouble. You're going to go and do what you want, when you want, how you want it, because that guy is the guy that's with you. And it's not really because of you. It's because of Andre the Giant there by your side. If you want to view God as your friend, He's not just some run-of-the-mill best friend like you had in high school. It's the greatest, biggest, strongest, most powerful friend there is. The psalmist says this: the world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. When he says these words, by the way, he's not making an astrological statement. And some people did take this psalm in that way, you know, centuries ago. They would say this: I'm afraid that you are mistaken. The earth cannot revolve around the sun because we are told in Psalm 93, verse 1, that the world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Therefore, according to the Bible, the world is in place and the sun must revolve around the earth. That's not what this psalm is about at all. This psalm is all about God and His strength and His power and that He's firmly in control. When we're talking about the world here, the world is envisioned as His throne, His place of control. We actually see that if we keep reading into verse 3. And what we're being told here is that God, in His royalty, in His strength, in His majesty, in His sovereignty, in His control over everything, He is firmly established. And nothing has the power to budge Him even a fraction of an inch. Because God is firmly in control. And when we talk about, again, God firmly in control, we don't mean in control the way I might say I've got things under control when Kara calls and says, "Hey, how is things going with the kids?" And I look and, you know, okay, so Felix has taken all of his clothes off and he's running around and, you know, Max is just doing his thing and I don't know exactly where Penny is, but hey, nothing's on fire and not anymore because I put it out, so I've got it under control. No, like keeping up, surviving, that's not what we mean when we say He's under control. When we say God's got it under control, we mean He has authority, He has power, He has the strength. It is all firmly and totally under His control. Sometimes it's just good to be reminded of that, especially at a time like this when so many things are changing and seem to be happening beyond our control. God is stronger than COVID-19. God is greater than COVID-19. COVID-19 was not a surprise to God. It was a surprise to us. We spent the past 2.5 months trying to play catch-up, but not to God. God continues to be in control, and God is in control over the governments in times like this. He's controlled over the medical response. He's in control over every aspect of our lives. God is firmly in control. And not only is God firmly in control now, the psalmist reminds us that God has always been firmly in control. God has been firmly in control from the very beginning. We see this in verses 2 to 4. The psalmist continues to write, he says, of God, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. God, your throne, again, remember, that's the earth. It was established long ago. You are from all eternity. So he's taking us back to the beginning, back to in the beginning, literally back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the very beginning of everything. We're going back even before God spoke those words, let there be light. We're even before that. This is what we read in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Again, remember, God hasn't even spoken light as we know it into existence yet. But there, over the formless and empty earth, are these dark, chaotic waters. You might think of them as like primordial forces of nature that have not yet been given any shape or purpose yet. And there is the Spirit of the Lord hovering over these waters. The psalmist describes it this way. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. As you imagine, the Spirit of the Lord hovering over this formless and empty earth at that point in time. When you think of the waters there, don't think of like the cool, placid, you know, beautiful day at the beach where you're just relaxing. No. Think about what it might be like that day when you couldn't go to the beach because there was a massive thunderstorm rolling in. A day like that, when you look out and you just see these massive waves pounding against the surf. Those days when you wouldn't even dare to walk out like knee deep into the waves because you might get knocked down and dragged under, and you are not that foolish. Those types of days when the roar of the surf is so loud, you can't hear yourself think. The psalmist looks back on this massive, powerful, great waves. The type of waves where if you were out in a boat on top of it and you lived to tell the tale, you wouldn't say that you conquered the waves. You would say you survived them. You know, that's how we would describe them, but this is what the psalmist tells us. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. He says, God is mightier even than those waters that were there in the very beginning, because he is the one that gave them shape and purpose and set their boundaries in place from the very beginning. And not just that God overcame them, that God is mightier than them because he somehow conquered them and had to wrestle with them. No, the point the psalmist is making is even greater than that. You see, God has always been greater than them because God is the one that brought them into existence in the first place. God has been firmly in control from the very beginning. And we need to look back every now and then for those types of reminders. That's not the type of thing our culture is really good at. We like to look forward. We like to think about what's next rather than looking back at what God has done. But it's good. It's good to look back every now and then and be reminded. I mean, think of things like the smallpox outbreak of the 1500s or the Spanish flu in the 1900s or even things like World War I and World War II. You know, I've just picked some of the most deadly events in the past 500 years or so, and guess what? Most of us never give them a second thought. To us, they're just historical factoids to maybe get right when we're watching Jeopardy with our friends or family. But that's it. Because you know what? They happened and life went on. Well, do you know why that's the case? That's the case because God was firmly in control. And God carried us through. God carried humanity through. And more importantly for us, God carried his church through all of those different events because God was firmly in control even in the midst of them. God's been firmly in control from the very beginning, and God continues to be firmly in control even now. And because of that, the psalmist reminds us that we can trust in the Lord. Because God is firmly in control, because God has been firmly in control from the beginning, we can trust in him. And specifically, we can trust him to do what he said. The psalmist puts it this way in verse 5. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Because God is firmly in control, his statutes stand firm. What he said will continue to be true now and on into the future because, again, holiness adorns your house for endless days. That idea that God is set apart, that God is different, that he is holy and righteous and true, that's not going to change anytime in the future. Now, it might not be easy for us to make the connection of the first four verses of this psalm and the last one, because this has been talking about God's strength and might and what he's done and that he's in control. And then he just says, you know, your statutes will stand firm. Well, what's the connection between those two? Well, you might think about it this way. Next Sunday, after we stream church together online, we'll be gathering together here for a picnic in the parking lot. I hope. Do you know how the weather is? It could thunderstorm. Something could happen that we might not be able to get together. I would love for it to be able to happen, but there may be circumstances beyond my control that keeps it from happening. And if that should happen, we'll let you know on Facebook or things like that. But here's the point I'm making. Because I am not in control, I can tell you what I think will happen, but it may not happen. But if I was in control, if I was in control of everything, then I could tell you something was going to happen, and you would know that it would happen with 100% certainty. Because I'm in control of everything. So I can see what's happened in the past, and the future, and in the present, and I can guarantee that things will happen. That's what happens when you are firmly in control of everything. And that's what the psalmist is saying about God. Because he is firmly in control of everything, always has been and always will be, anything he says, you can trust. There's never going to be a situation that comes up that he didn't expect, that he didn't plan on, that was beyond his control. You can trust in him with everything that you are. And that's so important for us because in a time like this, when so much is changing, we could use someone to turn to, someone to trust, to know that someone is in control. We can trust in his words. And some of us may need to hear and trust in the words of Isaiah 41:13, where God says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" I know some of you over the past 2.5 months have struggled with worry and anxiety, and I certainly understand it, especially during a time like this. And you know what? If things could just go back to normal, maybe that would help you, but they're not. In fact, once you finally got used to things in phase two, now we're moving to phase three, and everything's changing again, and now you have to rethink, all right, do I go out, or what's safe and what's not, and what's appropriate for me? And that just causes even more stress and worry and anxiety. But we have these words from the Lord that we can trust in, where he says, "Do not be afraid. I will help you. I will be at your right hand. And I love that imagery. He says, I will be at your right hand. It reminds me of when I'm with Felix. And if Felix ever gets scared and we're together, he'll reach up and he'll hold my hand. Because I'm there, I will protect him, and he knows I'll watch over him. And you know what? God says he will do that for us. And because of that, we can trust him. Some of us may need to hear the words and trust in the words of 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Some of you have been having a hard time, not with fear and worry and anxiety, but with anger and frustration. Because here's what you're expected to do at work, and here's what the time you have, and here's, you know, the help you have, and it's just more and more is expected, and you're happy to have a job, but you're just being overwhelmed with it, and you don't know what to do, and more is getting heaped on, and you're having a hard enough time, and just about the time that they set up this meeting that they say you have to call into, and then nobody else is there, and you're like, what am I doing? You just, that anger and frustration is bubbling up, and worst yet, because you're not at work, it's not bubbling up with your coworkers who might deserve it. It's bubbling up in your home towards your spouse. And you don't want to be that person, but you don't know what to do about it. Well, again, what we're told in here that God will provide you a way out. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. And when that temptation and that frustration builds up in you, that is not the righteous response of God, but the anger of man, he says, I will provide you a way out if you will trust in me. Some of us need to hear that and be reminded of it. Some of us may need to trust in the words of Philippians 4:13, where Paul remarks, I can do everything through him, through God, who gives me strength. And by the way, this is not a verse about how if you try hard enough, you can make the baseball team this summer, or you know, if you work hard enough, you can succeed and your business will be successful and profitable. That's not what this is about at all. This verse, the context is about contentment. Paul says, I've learned to make do with a lot and with a little, and I can be content in any situation. I can do everything through God who gives me strength. And here's the thing. This summer is a summer when a lot of us need these words because, well, there is no pool and there is no marching band and there is no summer camp and there is no library reading program. And both parents and kids and grandparents who are expecting to be out of the ball fields this summer are all struggling with making do with much less than we're used to. But Philippians 4:13 tells us that God will give us the strength to find contentment, find purpose, find joy, even in a summer that's so different than all the others, if we're willing to trust in him. Listen, I would love to tell you that in 2 weeks or in a month or that by the end of the summer, everything will be back to normal. But I can't. We've already said things are changing so much, and we don't know what the next month will bring. But there is one thing that I can tell you, one thing I can guarantee you, and that's this, that God is firmly in control. God has always been firmly in control. God will be firmly in control. In control on into the month and years and lifetime ahead. And because of that, you and I, we can and we should trust in him and trust in the truth of his word. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer and we ask that you would help us trust in you. You know, like that man in the New Testament who says, I believe, help me in my unbelief. We know this. We know this truth in our heads that we can trust you, but our hearts sometimes lose sight of that message. And Lord, through your Spirit, would you help us? Would you help us trust in you? Would you help us turn to you, Lord? We believe that you are firmly in control, and not just of the big things of the world, but Lord, that you care about every one of us. We're told in the scriptures that not a sparrow falls from the sky that you don't know about it. So you know about our lives, and you care about our lives, and we ask that you would help us trust in you in the week ahead. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you this morning with a word of the Lord from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. As you go forth this day, may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are dismissed.